At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Behold, your house is forsaken. And I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. That's Jesus talking about the people of ancient Jerusalem. Their society was a lot like ours in this way. People believed in God. They just didn't think they needed His forgiveness. Here in America, the majority of your neighbors profess some belief in God, but most of your neighbors can't stand the idea that they need God's forgiveness. Well, here at church, we don't like that idea either. We like to think that the Holy Spirit is transforming us into people who do not sin. By my effort and my attention, I can avoid sin. Can't I? The idea that we eliminate sin in our lives by being transformed over time into people who do not sin is described as a theology of glory. But there is a competing view. Here's how St. Paul put it. "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature." Paul believed that we will always battle sin. Read Romans 7:18. The idea that we can't help but sin and need God's forgiveness over and over again is described as a theology of the cross. So, is it better to focus on transformation and progress in your life as a theologian of glory? Or is it better to accept your shortcomings and seek God's forgiveness as a theologian of the cross? Let's take a look at our gospel lesson and see if that helps us answer this. Jesus was in the region of Galilee, quite a distance from Jerusalem, when some of the elites of society, the Pharisees, approached him and warned Jesus to get away from here because Herod wants to kill you. The truth is that these Pharisees were not concerned for Jesus' safety, and Herod had no interest in killing Jesus. All Herod wanted was to see Jesus perform a miracle like he'd heard about. That's all. Why kill him? Read Mark 3:6. It's the Pharisees who wanted Jesus dead, and to accomplish that, they needed to get Jesus out of Galilee and down to Jerusalem, where the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling body, waited with a plan to kill Jesus. Jesus was aware of that. And he said, "Today and tomorrow," in other words, very shortly, "I will be in Jerusalem, where it is my task to die, where so many of the prophets have already died." And then he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." The point of all this is that Jesus saw it as his purpose to die as a blood sacrifice to atone for the sins of us who are trapped in our sinfulness, but trust in him. If we had it within ourselves to avoid sin, Jesus' death would be meaningless. That's how God has always addressed humanity's sin. He forgives our sin. He doesn't minimize our sin. He doesn't pretend that we do not sin. He sees us in a clear light, and yet He forgives those who trust in Him. Jesus is a theologian of the cross. He comes down to earth and meets us in the mud and muck of life and recognizes our failure and forgives our sin over and over and over again, often the same sins as yesterday. Thursday evening, I was driving to Salem. I had an old friend who is in the hospital, the intensive care unit there, and I was listening to the radio. And I heard a radio preacher who asked this question: how is your heart? He did a good job of explaining that in ancient Jewish idiom, heart referred not to your emotions, but to your reasoning and intellectual capacities. In asking how is your heart, he was getting at this question: are you improving? Are you able to focus your heart and mind on the things of God? Or are you always battling thoughts of lust and anger and envy and greed or whatever? How's your heart? And then he referred to Matthew 5:21. You've heard it said, "You shall not murder," but I tell you, anyone who's angry with his brother is guilty of the same. And he applied it this way: when you feel anger toward your brother in your heart, you've got to nip it in the bud. You've got to be vigilant. You've got to stop it. The point is, you've got to change. And it's up to you. But here's another way to understand that verse. It's telling you to recognize your anger and realize that you desperately need forgiveness. The point of the verse is not to drive you to change yourself, but simply to drive you to seek forgiveness. Well, forgiveness is fine. But what about change? God won't forgive me if I don't change. Will He? Well, in fact, the Holy Spirit is at work in every Christian, enacting a process of change, of sanctification. But that's the work of the Holy Spirit. So let the Holy Spirit do His work. You've been justified by the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and your sin has been taken away. Justified means you're forgiven and accepted by God. Your sin may have earthly consequences, certainly, but God will never leave you or forsake you. Your life and your eternity are in His hands. For you who have faith in Him, even faith the size of a mustard seed. So what does that mean? It means that you who battle addiction, who struggle with the same things over and over and over, you who can't seem to shake your regrets, you who worry that you've blown it for your children, you who wish you could just do it all over again and do it right this time, you can relax and be confident that you're forgiven. You've been reconciled with God. God loves you and hears your prayers. And the amazing thing is, He causes all things to work together for good, somehow, some way. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, sometimes Your mercy toward us and your willingness to forgive us is hard to grasp. But it's also hard to grasp the depth of our sinfulness sometimes. And Lord, without your willingness to forgive, we would be lost. Lord, help us to recognize and see ourselves and the depth of our own sinfulness as it really is, and at the same time, recognize the magnitude of your love and mercy and forgiveness toward us. And help us to be filled with gratitude toward you and humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.